ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 5, Text 29. Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maha Ishvaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Nyatva Mam Shantim Richati Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Yadva mam shantim richati. Translation. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this: Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6-7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tamishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are His subordinates. One can achieve perfect peace only in Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute, and the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya, illusion, due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which in every respect helps one control the senses and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage of Brahma Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Now I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, Text 25, in pursuance of the subject of this verse of Bhagavad Gita, which we just read. Srila Prabhupada writes, "One who can understand that Krishna is the proprietor of all the three worlds and that he is the friend of everyone is peaceful and independent. As long as a conditioned soul does not have this knowledge, he wants to be the enjoyer of everything. He wants to become a humanitarian or philanthropist and open hospitals and schools for his fellow human beings. This is all illusion, for one cannot benefit anyone by such material activities. If one wishes to benefit his fellow brother, he must awaken his dormant Krishna consciousness." So in this extract from this purport, Srila Prabhupada is particularly addressing the point, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone. If we try to become the well-wisher of everyone by imitating Krishna and thinking, I will open hospitals and schools to benefit others, it's all illusion. Can't benefit them at all. This is the peace formula, to understand our situation in relationship with Krishna. If we don't understand that, then we misconstrue ourselves and others in various other relationships, such as, I am the benefactor of these hungry children, or I am a human, I am meant to eat animals. That is all on the bodily platform. On the one side, exploitation, on the other side, false sense of helping others. This cannot help us. It won't bring even mental satisfaction. It won't stop birth and death. It's all ultimately useless. And not even ultimately useless, but even immediately useless. What we think of useful is in terms of bodily comfort. It's very good that we should open schools to educate people so they can get a job and work, earn money, and then they can eat food and they'll be benefited and they can enjoy sense gratification. The whole outlook is so completely wrong that people become shocked when they come across such statements, that criticizing someone who's a humanitarian and a philanthropist, was very good to open hospitals. And say, no, Prabhupada writes, it's not good at all. Not at all. Doesn't help anyone at all. Of course, elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada writes that, well, we're not against such things. In human society, such things are there. We're not against opening hospitals and schools, but it's overrated. It's just like a mother feeds her child. All right, that's what mothers do. So governments are supposed to make arrangements for their citizens in times of hunger or for health. But that's just a material duty. It's all useless unless there is the understanding that human life is meant for reviving our relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, to so-called do good for others doesn't do them good at all. Rather, it increases the illusion. I'm studying to become a doctor so that I can help others. People used to say that. Now it's, I'm studying to become a doctor so that I can exploit others. But that idea, I can help others. But jaro vidya jato mayar bhaibhav tomar bhajane bhadha anitya samsare moha janame jivke kare gadha. The accumulation of mundane knowledge, which is after all just a manifestation, a prestigious manifestation of Maya. That means among people who are in illusion, they think that to become very learned is something very prestigious. So, among the fools, it's considered something very prestigious. And it's an obstacle toward worshipping Krishna. It makes one a big ass in this material world, where it gives rise to more illusion in this material world where everything is temporary. Gross misunderstanding of the purpose of life. And no one is peaceful. Srila Prabhupada writes at the beginning of this purport that everyone wants peace in this world. In modern society, people are so much dominated by the mode of passion mixed with the mode of ignorance that they want to be constantly stimulated, their senses to be stimulated and unpeaceful. They think to be constantly trying to enjoy this world, that is desirable. And time to time they get fed up with it all, then they want to be peaceful. There comes a point where even the person who is grossly enjoying their senses, they become, oh, I need to go to sleep. Let me get some peace. This formula, the peace formula, Srila Prabhupada called it, it might seem to be theoretical, but actually it's very, very practical. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that in this world, both collectively and individually, we can't get peace unless we recognize these three factors. There are interfaith conferences, religious conferences for world peace, then yajnas for peace. They're all useless unless they discuss this point. Gyatva mam shanti. Who knows that I, Krishna, am the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Enjoyer, and the Supreme Benefactor? Who knows me, not just some vague concept of God, but Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one who knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can attain peace. So this is very practical. In our own devotional life also, we should be peaceful. Krishna bhakta nishkam ataiv shanti. A pure devotee or a devotee of Krishna, he doesn't have any material desire, and therefore he's peaceful. He doesn't have any material desire because he's not trying to dominate this material world, because he knows that Krishna is the supreme dominator. He doesn't have any material desire because he knows that everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, not for my enjoyment. And he's not play-acting, trying to be the benefactor of others, because he knows that only Krishna can help others. Srila Prabhupada, in this purport from the Bhagavatam that I read, gives the example of the mundane philanthropist who thinks that he can help others by opening hospitals and schools. But even a so-called spiritualist who thinks that I am benefiting others, he's also an illusion, because he can only help others being an agent of Krishna. Krishna can help us. The preacher, I'm a great preacher, I'm a big guru, I'm helping so many, I'm giving mercy. Well, we should understand, who are we? We're very tiny living beings. All we can do is pray to become a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy mission, and whatever we've heard, speak that to others, and not get in the way of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, not obstruct it by opposing ourselves as greatly merciful, I am a greatly powerful dispenser of mercy, I'm helping others by giving them Krishna consciousness. This kind of thinking is also mundane. Simply we can become servants, that's all. And if we become completely surrendered servants, then Krishna will, as he likes, manifest himself in us. Just like Srila Prabhupada, the great example, he always gave credit to his gurus. He would always say, I am nothing, I'm simply giving the message. I'm simply giving what I've heard from my guru, acting on his instruction. If I have any credit, he said, it's because I have not changed what my spiritual master gave me. Now, obviously, Srila Prabhupada was a highly empowered devotee of Krishna. Kali Juge Juga Dharma Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tar Pravartan. In this Kali Yuga, the religious process for the age is chanting the names of Krishna, congregational chanting. One cannot establish that in this world unless one has got the power of Krishna. Obviously, Srila Prabhupada was a highly empowered devotee, but that power came to him through him because he recognized it is Krishna's energy, not my energy, it's not me. And therefore he was peaceful. Of course, our goal is not peace. Our goal is to serve Krishna. We may be not peaceful superficially, in that we're very busy in the service of Krishna. But internally a devotee is peaceful and satisfied because he knows that Krishna is my master. I'm doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is my protector and benefactor. So he has no worry or no anxiety of any kind. Is that right? We don't have any worries or any anxiety of any kind. Well, we may do. As long as we have material desires in our hearts, then we're not going to be peaceful in Krishna consciousness. The process is perfect, but we are not perfect. Sometimes people go away from Krishna consciousness and say, well, it doesn't work. And I say, oh, I was chanting and it didn't seem to work. The process is perfect. We are not perfect. We have to apply ourselves to the process with faith that if we go on in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna will surely help us. He is helping us. Even to be able to chant Hare Krishna means that Krishna is giving his mercy to us, that even if we come at all to Krishna consciousness, that is, Krishna has, through his devotees, has given us that opportunity to take to his service. We should see in our hearts, if we're not peaceful, if we have material desires, they may torment us. On the one hand, we want to be Krishna conscious. On the other hand, there's so many desires in our hearts. Then we should analyze. Jnana Yoga, Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that Jnana Yoga leads to Bhakti Yoga. So Jnana Yoga, sometimes that's thought of as a process that leads to impersonalism. But Jnana Yoga in Bhakti Yoga, that's desirable, that's required. Of course, those who are the topmost devotees, they're fully in love with Krishna. We who are aspiring for that process, we should take the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and try to understand them. That is the application of jnana or knowledge in Krishna consciousness. So we can analyze that these material desires, they're pulling us. That is the potency of Maya. She has the potency. Avaranatmika. She covers everyone. Yaya samohito jiva. Atmanam trigunatmakam. She covers the living beings with the conditioned souls of the three modes of nature, so that they identify themselves to be part of this material world. This is the covering. And if someone comes, covering potency of Maya, and if someone tries to come out of Maya and come to Krishna, then she has a prakshepatmaka potency. Kick you back. Get back. Get back in Maya. Throwing us back. Throwing, pulling. Sometimes devotees, they say, well, it seems like my material desires are increasing. They're not going away. It may be that Maya may manifest like that. Then we have to analyze and see. What is the nature of this material desire? How many times have we had, we can analyze, how many times have we had desire for material happiness? And how many times have we become frustrated? Unlimited times we've had desires for material happiness. We can't even recall, we can't even remember how many lifetimes we've been. But even in this lifetime, even after taking to Krishna consciousness, that, maybe I can enjoy this, or maybe I can avoid this service, maybe I can be a little more comfortable like this. But we find that if we indulge in material desires, the result is always the opposite. We don't become happy. It's a simple formula to understand, at least for the transcendentalists. The materialistic people, they can't understand this at all. It's actually, if we're blessed with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, then we can see the position of materialistic people. It's pathetic and observed how they're trying to be happy in this material world and again getting kicked by Maya and not even realizing that their whole endeavor is completely in the wrong direction, and they just keep on doing the same thing again and again. Of course, they may try to do something different. Kick out Obama, bring in Trump. And then when Obama came in, everyone was very held. Everyone's very hopeful. Okay, now, now everything's going to be good. And now they're fed up. They bring in Trump. Now everything's going to be good. And it goes on and on and on. That they think that now this leader will give us the sense gratification that we desire. Even if he does, which he won't, we'll be frustrated. So we can see with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita how futile is the endeavor for material happiness. And analyze that in our own life also. That it only leads to frustration. There's no happiness to be had from that. Even in spiritual life, just like for instance, if we take Krishna prasad, Krishna's mercy, to be something for me to enjoy and therefore eat more and more and more and more, then we have to suffer indigestion, bloatedness, and all other kinds of discomfort that come from excessive eating. That's just an example. Mm. So we it's a simple thing we can analyze, that indulgence in material desires, trying to become happy by indulging the bodily senses or the mind, that simply leads to frustration. Even more subtly, if we think, I shall be a big devotee, I shall dominate others. But we can see that those devotees who are actually happy and advancing in Krishna consciousness are those who take to heart Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, Trinada Pisuni Chena, Tarori Vasishana, Amanina Amanadina, Kirtaniya Sadaha. There's no happiness in being a big boss in the even in Krishna consciousness. We're not here to dominate. We're here to serve. That's always the consciousness that we should have. Of course, some devotees, because we have the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So some devotees, their service is to take a leadership role. But they always have to remember, it's a service. I'm a servant. I'm not here to dominate others. So we can see that material desire, if we indulge that simply leads to frustration. And even if we get some pleasure from indulging in material desire, it doesn't satisfy the heart. It doesn't last very long, and it doesn't satisfy the heart. In fact, even some non-devotees become very frustrated and disgusted with themselves by indulgence in gross material sense gratification. Someone may not even be a devotee, but they may be indulging in a lot of sexual activity and they become disgusted with themselves. Not everyone. Of course, now in the modern age, people, they don't become ashamed. They have no shame, and it's considered something, especially in the Western world, and increasingly that will come here, that if one indulges shamelessly, grossly, repeatedly, without any restriction in sexual activities, that's thought, well, good. Not good. Not good. If anyone has any consciousness, even some slight admixture of sattva gun, a sense of consciousness, then you simply become frustrated and disgusted with oneself. And what to speak of a devotee? Devotees, they become more frustrated by the blessings of Krishna. A devotee who tries to enjoy, a sincere devotee who has surrendered to Krishna, if he tries to enjoy this material world, by Krishna's blessing, he becomes more frustrated than a materialist would. Because a materialist has as his whole worldview that I'm supposed to enjoy this world. But a devotee, he knows that, no, it's not good. I shouldn't do that. So he becomes more frustrated. Once one's taken to devotional service in seriousness, then he can't enjoy this material world, even if he tries. So, might as well forget it. Just forget. Just don't do it. Just don't indulge in material desire, because it simply brings frustration and dissatisfaction. This verse, Bhuktaram Yagyatabhasa, speaking about peace. What is that peace? Well, that is. In various ways, Krishna speaks about that and has spoken about that prior to this in Bhagavad Gita, Atma Tripta. That one is satisfied or in the self. Later also, Santushta Satatam Yogi, one who is fully satisfied. In other words, he's got no desire to fulfill. It doesn't have material desires. Just eventually they should just go away. But in our conditioned state, they're still there. So we should discuss, analyze, so that we can overcome this ridiculous propensity to try to enjoy us. What we consider to be ourselves, we say enjoy ourselves, is not really ourselves at all in this material world. We can't enjoy ourselves in this material world because our self has no actual relationship with this material world. We can only imagine ourselves to be part of this material world and then have some imaginary happiness. But that doesn't satisfy the self. Even if we think it's the materialists think, yes, I'm very happy. Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. I'm very happy. I've got a good position. I'm dominating others. I'm enjoying my senses. I'm doing very well. I'm powerful, influential. But even if we think that we're happy now, but the foolish materialists should consider, how long will it last? Then I have to die, or even before death. If one is thinking, I'm enjoying, but where is the enjoyment in old age, when the body that we're so attached to just rots on the skeleton. It's still alive, but it's already rotting. Old age means everything, outside and inside, it's all rotting. So where is the opportunity to enjoy that? That's actually also Krishna's mercy to wake us up. Now death is approaching. But the materialist, he doesn't even want to see this. In the Western countries, old people, they're locked away in prisons called facilities for old people. It means they're put away. People don't want to see them. Because it's a reminder, you also, you great enjoyer of this world, you will also have to go on this path. Old people, they try to put on makeup and wear shorts and pretend that they're young. But anyway, death comes. And then what? The materialist likes to think, after death there's nothing. Actually, he knows there is something, but he knows it's not good, so he says there's nothing. Tries to convince himself, there's nothing. After death, there's nothing. He knows there is something, but it's not good. It's going to be fearsome. What's going to come? His reactions for spoiling his human form of life and exploiting others. He has to accept those reactions. He doesn't like to think about that because there's this propensity to try to enjoy this material world. So we might think that it's so strong, that propensity. So we might think, well, I'm happy now, but how long can we continue like this? Therefore, we should understand that the desire to enjoy this material world is absolutely contrary to this, to our actual self-interest. So then we may think that, okay, all right, so I'll become a sannyasi and be free from this material world. That's also an enemy. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate. What's the next line? Yavat. Yavan bhakti sukhasya atra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as these desires are within the heart to enjoy this material world, or even to renounce or become free from the distress of this material world, these desires, they're like witches. Then the actual happiness of the soul in love of Krishna, can it arise? How can it arise? How can it arise? It won't arise. I wrote it. Tavad bhakti sukhasyatra. How can it arise? It won't arise. Not possible. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. I didn't finish what I want to say on this verse, but it would take extra time. So 1:30 is supposed to be prasad for everyone. So I'll stop now, and Krishna willing, we'll continue this discussion this afternoon, or later this evening. Hare Krishna! All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Which chapter is this?
From 4 to 8.
Chapters 4 to 8 of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's lectures, are now released with a Tamil voice, Tamil translation. So you can hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures in Tamil, as spoken by Krishnadas Prabhu, and you'd better announce it in Tamil, because those who can understand what I said, they can hear them in English. So please announce it. Congratulations, very good. This is excellent service. You should give these to all the Bhagavatam set people, all Prabhupada's lectures in Tamil. You're doing, it's almost all Tamil, isn't it, in Sri Lanka? Yeah. That's a very powerful. They get the books and they get the lectures. Yeah. So many thanks to Krishnadas Prabhu for making this possible, and everyone should hear these lectures. Hare Krishna.